Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to episode number 2 of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I am Josh and I am joined by my co-host Alex. We are here today in a very different situation than we were a few days ago when we recorded the first episode of this podcast. I would say if you haven't checked it out already, go check it out, but it doesn't really matter now as both series have ended between the Nets and the Celtics and the Knicks and the Hawks. One team moves on, one team goes home or stays home as the Knicks lost in the Garden in a 4-1 series. Depending on where Alex wants to go first, I'll let him lead that as I first ask him, how are you? Well, obviously, I know your emotions are going to be not as high as I guess mine are. Maybe they will be even higher because your team has moved on, but I guess just not as emotional as I will be and sad and kind of depressed after that last game. But anyway, Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. More Nets basketball coming tomorrow when we're recording this, or probably today when it comes out Saturday morning. And I'm excited for round 2 here. And there's a lot of good matchups. There's a lot of interesting things that have happened over the past couple of days. And, the Knicks, while they are out, there's definitely some exciting things for the Knicks. There's, like, as I'm pulling it up here, just all over everywhere, is the Damian Lillard trade rumors to the Knicks. It's everywhere. Then again, there's always rumors of big players to the Knicks. You can't always, take it right at its face value. But, the Hawks played really well in that series. And, Trae Young really stepped up after the first game there where he was, pretty much taunted all game. And he really showed the Knicks fans, I think, gave them a little bit of a lesson. But yeah, Trae Young was fantastic, and there wasn't really much the Knicks could do. Julius Randle was off pretty much all of the time during these 5 games, and there just wasn't enough firepower for the Knicks to overcome the Hawks.
Interesting. So you start with the Knicks. You know what? That's fine. Let's do that. I'm gonna go on my Knicks rant for a little bit, Alex. So sit tight, hold back, take your little nap, and we can come back to you when it's time to talk about your Brooklyn Nets. So the thing that I have to say, and I guess I don't know what I should start out with, but I guess I'll start out with the shooting. For a few points during games, and I'm not going to say like overall because obviously it changed throughout the game, but a few points, during games of the series, the Knicks shooting was horrific. And this was, sometimes from the three-point spot. Sometimes it was from the paint. Sometimes it was from the perimeter, basically, like the three-point line. But shots just weren't going in. And a player that I saw who really forced shots, especially in this final game against the Hawks in Game 5, was Julius Randle. And now, this could have been because he was told to do so. But my guess is more he wanted to catch fire, meaning he wanted to get hot. He wanted to put some points on the board for the Knicks. He knew that he was the guy that they relied on. And in the previous games, I know he had one good game against Atlanta, pretty good game,
But besides that, he hasn't really shown up. He didn't really show up this series. I can't say he hasn't shown up this series because the series ended. He didn't really show up this series. So he tried to do so against the Hawks in game five. And just no, like it didn't work. He had a total of 23 points. He forced so many shots in that game. And he just tried to get on the board. The thing is, though, when you're forcing shots, you're not giving your other players on the team a chance to shoot it themselves. And I'm not going to say that, you know, it's his fault and, you know, he's the reason the Knicks lost this game. I'm going to move my mic a little closer. You might hear that. I don't know what it is, but it just seemed like Julius Randle, I'm not going to lie, he didn't seem like he was built for this playoffs. And this could have been the New York Knicks crowd. This could have been the Garden. Like I said, this could have been the Hawks. I don't know what it was, but obviously we did not see the most improved player of the season in Julius Randle translate from this regular season. Unbelievable player. Put him on the 1v1 matchups, driving into the paint, getting those hook shots, those fadeaway jumpers. You know, what we see from Kevin Durant. And I think that shows the difference between the Knicks and Nets and a Kevin Durant and a Julius Randle. In a big time moment, during the playoffs, you give the ball to Kevin Durant and he will make that shot, right? That will go in. And there's a 99 out of 100% guarantee that that shot will go in. Yes, it's Kevin Durant. Yes, it's a Hall of Famer and one of the best basketball players of all time. Some people will rank Kevin Durant one of the top 10 best to ever play. And I don't know if I would deny that right now, but that's not the debate we're talking about. Yes, I know it's two different players, Kevin Durant and Julius Randle. I understand that. But this is the player that we relied on throughout the entire season. And when it came down to the playoffs, okay, fine. He had some game one jitters, okay? New, you know, big crowd. It went from 2,000 to like 10,000, whatever it was. You know, big crowd. You got fans screaming your name, fans calling you MVP, that's fine, but you're a professional basketball player, right? You're getting paid millions of dollars to do this, so, you know, maybe it could have taken you the first minutes of the game to get ready. First 5-10 minutes, okay, fine. You know, you're going 2-for-12 shooting. First 5 minutes, fine, I'll allow it. Then it just kept going, and that was game one. Then it was game two. Then it was game three. You know, Julius Randle just never caught fire in this series. And that just impacted the whole roster because we had no one to lean on, which actually that player that we, you know, had to lean on turned into Derrick Rose. And Derrick Rose showed playoff D Rose. I'd just like to give credit to everything Derrick Rose did for this team this season, you know, since he came in, and he was even up there for the sixth man of the year. I don't think he had enough time with the Knicks to get that, but still, great for him to be up there. And I think it just shows the difference between, you know, Julius Randle and how he performs in the playoffs compared to, maybe, I know D Rose had some experience, but it just shows that Julius Randle, you know, needs some time in the playoffs to get better. So now this goes to my other point, and that is the offseason. So I think what Julius Randle showed you this playoffs is that he can't be as the number one guy. That's just not his role. He can't do that as a number one guy. Can he be a number two? I don't even know if his performance in this playoffs made him look like a number two guy. Okay, he can be a number three, right? He can be the Joe Harris. I know completely different positions, but like when I think about it, I think of like the, you know, Kyrie Irving or James Harden's on the floor. You go to Joe Harris. He's that third guy for a corner three pointer, right? Julius Randle, you have Derrick Rose and Reggie Bullock, right? We're like superstars. Then you have Julius Randle. He's that third guy you go to. So maybe he's the second or third guy, but he's definitely not the number one guy. Now, my second point with the offseason, sure, let's go chasing some potential, right? Let's go chasing star potential, but let's not throw away everything we built here for one player like a Bradley Beal who's going off of maybe 3 years left in the NBA, right? I mean, are we really that desperate that we need to chase a championship right now? Julius Randle's 26. We have players like Emmanuel Quickley. We know Derrick Rose isn't staying on this team for much longer, maybe one more year, but you have players like Emmanuel Quickley. We had Mitchell Robinson completely miss this series. He's our young center. We had Obi Toppin nailing shots. Yeah, Emmanuel Quickley and Obi Toppin look better under pressure in the playoffs than Julius Randle did. So that just shows our young core and how good they are. So can we please can we please not go chasing after a Bradley Beal this offseason as much as I would like him? He's 27, so that's fine. He's 1 year older than Julius Randle, so that's okay. I mean, if we want to go after Kawhi Leonard, why? I'm seeing the Damian Lillard, Kawhi Leonard, CJ McCollum, Bradley Beal I have written down as the players that I've seen. Damian Lillard would go against everything he's ever said because he talks about all he wants to do is win a championship with the Portland Trail Blazers. So he would go, you know, away from that if he said, I want to go to the Knicks. Bradley Beal, his future is uncertain. He might want to leave Washington, and that's his choice. I don't think he would come to the Knicks. CJ McCollum has been rumored for the past year, I think, at this point, to the Knicks. And Kawhi Leonard, there's just no point that that's happening. So this offseason, I say you get some key pieces. There's not that much in free agency that the Knicks should pursue. Don't spend all your money. Spend a good amount of your money. Don't re-sign the players that we don't need to re-sign. Keep the young core growing. If we want to go after a superstar, just make sure we're not giving too much up for it, right? We have a lot of draft picks in the next recent years. We're going to need those draft picks. So let's just say we don't trade for a superstar. Let's get some more draft picks or use the draft picks and draft high. Go for the most high upside players in that NBA draft because that's what the Knicks need. Maybe it's not next year. Maybe it's not the year after that. But with these young players, it's got to be soon, right? We got to build for we got to build for in 2 years from now, we're taking it to the NBA championship. Like there's got to be a time frame of when this is going to happen. This was the rebuilding year where Tom Thibodeau comes in. He did that great. He got the Knicks to the first round of the playoffs. Now the next 2-3 years, that's when we got to start pushing for the championship. Maybe it's not next year. And I know it's so hard because Knicks fans have been waiting. But guess what? We got our first playoffs of the decade, okay? Or around that time. And now we just got to wait and see. And I've been talking for a while. Alex, I'm glad you were able to let me go. I apologize. Go ahead now.
So while you were talking, actually, I was thinking about what you were saying. And I was more looking at the names you're talking about for the offseason. You're looking at Damian Lillard. You're looking at Kawhi. CJ McCollum is just not a good fit for the Knicks. He's not even a good fit on his own team at the moment. So I'm not sure if he's a good fit there. Bradley Beal is definitely an interesting one. But like you mentioned, a lot of those guys are getting older, especially Lillard is, what, 30 now? Kawhi's up there as well. I don't think you attract someone that big to the Knicks yet. I think there's an interesting player that I think of. Obviously, the Knicks are going to need help at point guard. Like you mentioned, D. Rose isn't going to be there forever. Yes, you have Emmanuel Quickley, but I'm not sure. You know, it's only his rookie year. You can't expect him to be the starting point guard for the next 10 years. I think a couple players that came to mind for me, I know this is kind of recency bias, but Devin Booker, I think, would be a really good fit for the Knicks. Not saying that it would actually happen, but I think fit-wise, he'd be a really good fit. And another player who's kind of on trying to get his way out of where he is, De'Aaron Fox. He's been trying to get out of Sacramento. I know he's not happy there. He has had some injury troubles and stuff like that, but I think he could be someone that, you know, he's a younger player. He could develop with the rest of the team. And I think he'd be a big improvement at point guard for you guys. I think that's another player that could be possible. But I think Lonzo Ball is obviously the realistic one in free agency coming up if you could acquire him. What do you think of Lonzo Ball? That's always an interesting one because a lot of people like have different opinions on him.
Lonzo Ball is a player that I would be fine with the Knicks getting. He's a playmaker. He's a guy that you can rely on to shoot the ball. And he's a guy that could definitely work with what we need right now, and that's an aggressor. And we also need someone who's going to like the Thibodeau mindset, meaning practice, you know, practice makes perfect and play defensively minded. I think Lonzo Ball can do that. The only thing is with Lonzo Ball is his shooting. Obviously, he's worked on that, you know, so far, and that's what we need, right? We need more three-point shooters. The Knicks were surprisingly not that bad with three-point shooting this year, but we need someone who can navigate the floor. And I just don't know if Lonzo Ball is ready for that yet. That's something that Devin Booker, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Kawhi Leonard have mastered, you know, being able to do is control the offense. That's something we saw with, you know, Derrick Rose and Julius Randle at points as well, and Alec Burks, because he even, you know, the Knicks were so desperate for a point guard when Derrick Rose was on the bench or like when he wasn't, you know, playing point guard, that we had Alec Burks, who normally plays shooting guard or small forward, run our point. So I think that just shows how, you know, how much we needed a point guard, right? And Alec Burks, I would say, is not the best point guard either. And he's 29 as well. So, yeah. But Lonzo Ball, Alex, I would be fine signing him as long as it's not for as much money, you know, as people are saying. And obviously, like I said earlier, don't want the Knicks spending all their money. When it comes to Devin Booker, I just don't think he's leaving the Suns right now. Just because of how positive they have been playing. They just knocked out the winners of last year, you know, of the Los Angeles Lakers. He dropped 47. And he's living in L.A. and dating a Jenner. So I don't think he's leaving L.A. or anything like that anytime soon. So I think he's staying, not L.A., but, you know, the California area, I would say. So I don't think he's leaving there anytime soon.
Yeah, and if you're looking at the free agent class for this offseason, you know, there's not a ton of super high-level options. I know Kyle Lowry is another one that people have been talking about. Talking about old, he's definitely up there in age, so I'm not sure if he would be the best fit either. But do you have any more thoughts about the Knicks before we move on to the Nets?
No, but I have a thought about my Nets thoughts, I guess. I'm sorry, I don't even know how I was going to say that. The Nets... Listen, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. I always, you know, joke around with Alex. I know he likes to talk about it, how I say this is a make or break year. Like, I remember he's like, all right, we're moving on to round two. And I was like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Like, this is a make or break year. But, you know, they are. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it's the Brooklyn Nets for you. You know, again, especially a player, because I watched that last game when they won the series 4-1. James Harden, man, he did what he did with the Rockets, excuse me, and he's doing it with the Nets. I don't think I've talked about James Harden yet, so I'll just say that. So, you know, to give you some context, James Harden was my favorite player in the NBA, loved him with the Rockets, and then when he made the transition over to the Nets, my fandom kind of vanished as I just disrespect the Nets. And I did see an article actually the other day saying why the Nets are the most hated franchise in the NBA right now. So it's not just me, Alex, that hates the Nets right now. And I would say hate's a strong word, but I strongly dislike them. But anyway, what I was going to say was triple-double in that final game. And James Harden is doing, just like when I mentioned Kevin Durant and gave him all the praise this episode and last episode, now James Harden, another player stepping up, dropping 34 in their win. It's just... it's all clicking, and that's what it's supposed to be with three superstars on your roster and starting all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, it's all been going really well for the Nets. Kevin Durant in the playoffs, he's been averaging 33 points a game. James Harden, 28 points a game. Kyrie, 25 points a game. And while, you know, none of those are like mind-blowing numbers, especially, I mean, besides Kevin Durant, obviously, you know, you can't have three players averaging 30-plus points a game because then... Well, I mean, you could. It's just, it's not really realistically going to happen. But like you said, I think James Harden is the most important player on the Nets. He just opens up another dimension for the Nets with his playmaking ability. It's going to be interesting to see how he does here against the Bucks because the Bucks do match up nicely against the Nets. The Nets obviously struggling, don't have the best big men, and the Bucks definitely having some very good big men, including Giannis, obviously, and it's going to be interesting to see how they match up there. But yeah, James Harden's been key. And the way Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant have played off the ball has been really important for the Nets as well. You know, obviously Kyrie on the ball, we weren't really sure how it was going to work. Is James Harden going to primarily play point guard or is it going to be Kyrie? It's definitely primarily been James Harden. But Kyrie has been very good, you know, when James Harden's not playing. Or, you know, just in other places around the court, even when James Harden is running points. So very good from them. And then Joe Harris is just kind of the extra man who's just, you know, it's interesting because you either have to cover Joe Harris or you need to, you know, either double team one of the big three. And then you're leaving Joe Harris wide open. And obviously there's other players who are doing quite well for the Nets. Blake Griffin has been okay. But Bruce Brown, like I've talked about before, great defensively, and, you know, has even been putting in some nice work offensively as well. Defensively, that was where the doubts were going to be for the Nets. Obviously, during the regular season, defensively. The Nets were not very good at all. And now during the playoffs, I wouldn't say they're an elite defensive unit, but they have been putting in, I'd say, an average-ish defensive performance. And when you have that type of offensive firepower, you don't need, you know, a top five defense in the NBA. You just need an above average or an average one. And when you're putting up 130 points a game, it doesn't really matter. So, you know, just overall good performance from the Nets. And, you know, Jeff Green, I'm not sure what his status is coming back for the next game. Josh, do you have that? Or are you
No, you're right up my alley. So that was my credit to you. I was just going to say you stole my question. I was just going to say, what is the impact? I know you joked when we kind of joked around, mainly you, earlier in the season, like, oh, yeah, Jeff Green starting again. But he's really gotten good, you know, towards the midway to end part of the season. Do you think he'll have a big impact on this first game against the Bucks, not being, you know, getting ruled out, obviously?
Well, if you think about it, Jeff Green, you know, has been playing makeshift center for us throughout the season. And when we don't have really any great big men, especially big men that are great defensively, Jeff Green's definitely going to be missed up against Giannis, up against Brooke Lopez. You know, there's going to be interesting matchups. I don't know who's going to take Giannis. I mean, it's probably going to be Kevin Durant. Maybe Blake Griffin, if he's starting, you may see a little bit more DeAndre Jordan. You may see a lot more Nick Claxton, who was very good defensively throughout this series. So I think he's definitely a possibility who will be matched up against Giannis for most of the time. But yeah, the Bucks are definitely a difficult matchup for the Nets. And I think if the Nets can get past the Bucks, I think it'll really show that they're serious, serious championship contenders, not based on, you know, on paper, but if you actually look at their performance, if they can get past the Bucks in five or six, I think they're going to be a pretty scary team down the stretch.
And I mean, moving towards Giannis, obviously we know what he can do. He's put up 20 points multiple times in the playoffs this past year, put up 20 points in the final game against Miami, put up 31 in game two against Miami. And I'm just trying to figure this out. I want to see the difference between Kevin Durant. One second. I'm trying to figure it out. I want to ask you a question. Okay, here we go. Wow. Oh, my God. So, Alex, what game do you think this will be? Numbers, like, what game, number game, do you think this would be, this will be? Game one for Kevin Durant in the playoffs. Like, how many games do you think he's played in the playoffs? What game number will this be
in the playoffs? Number of games, like 200, 100, like,
yeah. So to give you reference, like, just to say, yeah, in the 2019 playoffs, right, with the Warriors, he played 12 games.
Oh, 12 game. Oh, so you're asking for this season, how many is he going to play?
No. How many, like, what number game will this be? Like, what number
game? Oh, like,
game
in total throughout his whole career.
And I'll give you a little bit more so it doesn't sound, yeah, in his career. So, obviously, he's been with OKC. He started with OKC in 2010. They played six games in the 2010 NBA playoffs.
Okay. So, you said 12 games in 2019. Kevin Durant's made it pretty far in the playoffs, pretty much.
And I'll tell you, sorry, I'm really just giving this away. But, I mean, I don't want you to, get completely off. He's been in the playoff. He was in the 2010 playoffs, the 2011 playoffs, the 2012 playoffs, the 2013, 14, 15. Oh, not 15. So 14, 16, 17, 18, and 19 playoffs.
Okay, and obviously 2020, he didn't play because he was hurt. All right, so that's what, eight? I'm going to go 60.
157.
Wait a second.
Look it up.
In 2019,
he wasn't starting. He was with the team, though, during those games. So he was out for like 10 games for the Warriors in 2019. If you go back, Alex, the series, the Warriors made it to the round one, round two. This is 2017. Round one, round two, round three, round four, round five. They made it to the finals, obviously. Think about the final runs, Alex, with the Warriors.
Oh, my God. Wait, it's 143?
I saw 157.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Well, I guess he made it pretty far every single time. I don't know why I didn't think about
it. He made it one round in 2010 with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then in 2011, they made it three rounds. They made it to the conference finals. 2012, they made it to the finals with Oklahoma City against Miami. 2013, they made it to the second round. 2014, made it to the second round. 2016, made it to the... Western Conference Finals. 2017 made it to the finals. 2018 made it to the finals. 2019 made it to the finals. And now. And then Giannis, flipping this a little bit, because I wanted to compare Kevin Durant and Giannis. I would say the two best players on each team. Giannis, he played in the 2015, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2021 playoffs. What game do you think this is for him? Taking part that the Bucks obviously have not made it as far in the playoffs as the Warriors have.
42.
49. This will be. That was pretty close. Game one, it'll be 49. So in 2015, first round. 2017, first round. 2018, one round. 2019, Eastern Conference Finals against Toronto. 2020, second round. And then now they're going to be in the second round. So yeah, I just thought that was pretty cool, talking about that. But I mean, I guess is that everything? Obviously, Bucks Nets, tune in tomorrow or today, probably when you're listening to this episode, like Alec mentioned earlier, Saturday, 7:30 PM. That'll be game one in Brooklyn and game two in Brooklyn as well on Monday. Alex, I mean, is that everything on the two games?
Yeah, I think that's everything on the two games, right? And yeah, I think we're pretty much out of stuff for today's episode.
So then it's time for trivia. So obviously, like we did last episode, we're going to do it once again this episode. And that is trivia, where I'm going to ask Alex one Nets question. He's going to ask me one Knicks question. We both got it wrong, but we both were a year off. I forget the exact question. I think it was, when was the last time the Knicks won a championship, which was from Alex. And I think I asked, when were the Nets founded? Yes. So today, mine is going to be a little different. I don't know what Alex's is, but I'm going to ask mine first. Alex, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. And I also have your question, so I am completely ready.
Here we go. Alex, Jason Kidd, pretty well-known Net, obviously was with the Nets for a long time, also with the Knicks, so I thought it would be cool to kind of, you know, have a player that was on both teams. What number did Jason Kidd wear with the Brooklyn Nets? Now, I was very surprised when I saw this number. I was like, what? Really? Jason? You know, obviously before our time.
Yeah.
But
I for some reason, there's a number that's really like just popping out to me, and I don't know why. I'm just going to say it anyway. Is it number six?
It's number five.
Oh, I was close. I was going to say it was like something in that vicinity. I kind of remember seeing his jersey number like that.
Yeah, it's a weird number. I mean, it's a very famous number, I would say. 10-time All-Star, 5-time assist champion, 2011 NBA champion, 6-time All-NBA. But obviously, rock with the five with the Brooklyn Nets. And, Alex, I'll give you – or New Jersey Nets at that point, excuse me. Yeah. Before your time, though, before my time as well, 2001 season to the 2007 season.
Okay. So I was not born until like three, and then, okay. So I was a toddler.
So there you go. So let's hear the next question so I can get that completely wrong. Again, I'm waiting for one of us to be. So you were 1 year off, I believe, or 1 or 2 years off for when the Nets were founded. I was like 1 or 2 years off for. So we basically haven't embarrassed ourselves yet. You didn't embarrass yourself there. You were one number off. I'm waiting for one of us to embarrass, you know, each other. And that's, I think, what this trivia section is kind of about.
Yeah.
So let's hear it, Alex.
So I don't think I can really embarrass you about this because, again, it's before your time, but it's just kind of a fun guessing.
But still, the Nets, when they were founded, was before your time.
True. So the New York Knicks.
Oh, no.
We talked about today. It's been a while since they've been in the playoffs. How many points was their highest scoring playoff game? I'll give you a hint. It was in 1990. How many points did the Knicks score? This is their most points ever in a playoff game.
Right. So you're saying in a single game. So just for example, this is not my guess. It would be like 90, right? It would be like what the answer you're looking for.
Yeah. Like the Knicks won 90-70 against the Celtics.
Do, Do you want me to say, like, who he played or just the...
No, just the number. Just the number. It was against the Celtics.
Highest number in the playoffs? I'm going to go... It was a 90, though, so I don't think... I'm going to go, like, 118.
All right, so you're not super far, but you're not super close either. It was 135. You guys beat the Celtics in Game 2 against the Boston Celtics. You guys lost Game 1, 157-128. But then you did come back and win Game 2... 135-108. So game two was your highest scoring game, 135. But the Celtics before that actually scored 157, which is crazy. So
do you have the stats on that? Had to be in overtime, right?
Which one? 157-128?
Yeah. And the second game too.
The second game, I know all I have here is the stats. Patrick Ewing went off for 44 points. Johnny Newman came off the bench to score 24 points. So that's the only thing I have here. They did advance to the next round, but then were eliminated by the Detroit Pistons. That's something you haven't heard for a while.
All right.
Josh's looking it up now. He's interested.
Game two. Game two, yeah, we lost 157-128. And that's the most... So the most points we scored was in a loss. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. 2024. Patrick Ewing played 40 minutes. Even 40 minutes as well. Here, wait. I'm pulling up the box score.
Wait, two games later. So it was actually game 5 that you guys scored the most points. 135.
Oh, 135. Okay. I'm trying. Sorry. All right. Let me see. Playoffs game 2. Let's see. I'm sorry. You know what? We're not as organized.
Two was the loss against the Celtics. And
I know. Well, I'm trying to figure out if that was in overtime, though. Because if that was not in overtime, then that's crazy. 152 and not in overtime?
157 against 128.
Fourth quarter. Boston scored in going from first to fourth quarter. First quarter, 41 points. Second quarter, 33 points. Third quarter, 42 points. And fourth quarter, 41 points.
Wow. All right, so I guess then, out overtime.
And then game 5.
Who would have the Celtics had back then? Let's see. Celtics.
It was game 5, Alex, or game 6?
Game 5.
Let me make sure. Game 5, he scored 121. It was game 4.
Okay.
Come on, Alex.
Sorry.
Gotta be better there.
I mean, you guys beat Larry Bird, so okay, in that series.
135-108, Ewing exploded for Mikhail Lewis and Byrne combined for 60 points. Here we go. Okay, this was also in four quarters.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, and they say that the NBA is less defense now. All right. Well, anyway, I'll have to talk to my dad about that after this episode. So I think, Alex, any closing thoughts? You want to say anything for your Brooklyn Nets?
I honestly don't. You know, it's hard to give opening thoughts. I want to see what happens in the first, you know, couple games. And then we'll obviously have another episode out next week, probably around game 3, I'm guessing, is when that time frame will be around. So we'll talk more about it then. But, you know, hopefully the Nets pull through. But it's definitely going to be a much more competitive series here against the Bucks.
Agreed. But we'll see how competitive that is. I mean, on predictions, right? Let's do that. I forgot about that. I say the Bucks lose at home in game 6 and the Nets win only one more game, or have to play one more game, excuse me, than they did against the Celtics. Or did they win? They won 4-1 against the Celtics. So yeah, so they have to play one more game, winning game 6 in Milwaukee, 4-2 series. What are you going with, Alex? Are you doing prediction?
Yeah, I'll go. I actually did have a prediction as well. And sadly and boringly, it is your same prediction. I think it's going to be 4-2 to the Nets. But I think it'll get off to a slightly rocky start. I think the Bucks could possibly take game 1. You know, who knows exactly. But I think there's definitely a possibility that the Nets could get off to a rough start.
Okay, so that is going to be it for this episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. We appreciate it. That you're listening to this podcast. We'd like you to subscribe, drop a 5-star rating and review. And usually we have other stuff for our other podcasts. But you know what? That's going to be short. Nope, it's not. Go follow me on Twitter @JoshL29. Go follow Alex @Anorian23. And subscribe to our other podcast, the Giant Take podcast and Talking Blues, for your Giants and Chelsea action. And that's going to be it for this episode. We will see you next time for another episode next week to talk more Nets and Knicks.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.